you met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, happy me, with the weight of my mistakes you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure. You meant for me to soar. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. So much more, still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path and opening every door. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for.
Crystal Lee, we are here tonight, Faith for the Family. We are in our series about that life, and tonight, that's what we're doing tonight. That's what we're doing. I believe you were fighting for tonight, and I believe God has called us to this place, to this time. Everybody, this we love you, and we appreciate your presence. I'm excited to have you here. We are all governmental officials in the most powerful kingdom that's ever been in existence. It's a kingdom without ending and a part of the largest military force that's ever existed in the entire world. I mean, we've got heavenly and earth force. It's just an amazing place to be. It's an amazing position to be in. And God is the God of gods. He's the God of war. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the God that answers by fire. I'm glad that you're here tonight because you've been assigned to be here for such a time as this, for this mandate, for this movement. And what is this about? It's about impacting the soul of men. So tonight, we pray that you understand of being like waking out of your summer. I promise you, this is a season of an awakening. It's a season of an opening and an ascension. People are coming out of this moment, this season, and we're beginning to see him for who he is. Not because we want to be God. As we see him as he is, we are becoming. He's given us the power to become the sons of God that we are ever becoming, all that he's called us to be. I'm excited for you to be here. Arise and shine his sun. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I promise you, not that something is waiting. All of heaven is waiting. It's a moment, it's a time. And as the gross darkness has covered the face of earth, it's shining. This is a good time to be God, a good time to know, and a good time of him to know you. How about that? Good time to know you. You know, you're known of God, and everything that you need has already been provided. I don't know what kind of technical difficulties we're having tonight, but I'm believing God to hear me. And wherever you are, if you're on the line, wherever you are, if you're listening by way of a computer or your whatever device, if you're calling into the studio, I'm believing that you are able to hear me. I'm just going to move on. I'm going to let this train pick up some speed. Like, that's what I'm going to do. I am here by myself tonight, which is not a big deal. We do this sometimes, you know. Sometimes people are busy and have other things that need to be handled. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters that are normally here with us. The King's Counselor is not on the line with us yet. I'm not sure if she will not be on tonight, but she's got a house full where she is. And so Jasmine Blair, we're praying for her. She does all that God called her to do this evening. And for Apostle Lionel Blair, we love him so much, and we're always just so honored to have her here on the broadcast with us. So we're going to move forward tonight. Listen, thank God again for your presence here. I honor you, all the men and women of God all over the world. We're going to talk to men again tonight, and I'm glad that you showed up to have this conversation with. I want you to know that strength and longevity of any building begins with the foundation, and we believe that family is the foundation that God put in the earth to extend his hand, to extend his blessing from generation to generation, from nation to nation. It's his desire to show his love to mankind. And that begins with a man. And so he started from the very beginning. God started this thing with family. And I love him because he's just always shown his hand in all creation. And everything that he does, he shows us his character. And he's such an amazing Father, tonight we want to pray. We want to pray really quickly, and then we're going to jump right in. Listen, we're only going to be on an hour tonight. I only plan to do an hour tonight, and I believe that the Lord has taken us this way for the summer hours. And so probably come fall again, we may be back on for the two-hour period. But I am loving it. I know when he told me to do it, I was ready for it. You hear me? It's not that I don't mind doing 2 hours. I could talk all night probably. But he said 1 hour, and I'm game. Let's do it. So let's get to prayer. Father, thank you tonight. We give you praise tonight for who you are. We thank you, Father, for being our God, for being our King, for being our Father who supplies everything that we need. You're a holy God, and we set you apart from everything in the world, everything in our lives, everything that's on our minds, on our hearts. We set you apart. You're in a class all by yourself. We're not bunching you in with everything else, and we're not making you a priority with everything. We are making you the priority tonight. Hallelujah. We want your kingdom way to be our desire and our seek in this hour. That's what we want. We want your will to be done. We know that your kingdom is coming. It's at hand because your kingdom lives in us. And so everywhere we go, we want to take the kingdom with us. And we want you to exercise your authority through your people. We lend ourselves, oh God, as vessels to be used, vessels of honor to be used for your kingdom purposes, God, that your love would be shown to the people all over the world, that your love would be shown to nations. Hallelujah. We thank you tonight for family. We thank you tonight for the family inheritance. We thank you for the inheritance that you've given us through your son, Jesus. We thank you tonight that we are heirs with you and joint heirs with him. And we're just thankful to be a part of this kingdom tonight. Hallelujah. We're thankful to be a part of this kingdom and that all things have been provided that we need. You've given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. We give you praise tonight for your covenant that you've made with us. We honor you tonight that you're a covenant-keeping God, and we want to talk about covenants tonight. We want our ears to be open and our hearts to be ready for the seed of covenant that you're getting ready to plant in the lives of the people that are hearing this word tonight. Hallelujah, because there is a gross darkness in the earth that is against covenant. There is a spirit that is against covenant, but tonight we believe that the incorruptible seed that comes only from you is going to prevail because that is just your word. We thank you tonight, oh God, break anointing. We thank you tonight, God, that you're able to break anything that should not stay. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings, you begin to talk to Elijah, and he began to decree that the rain was coming because he heard your voice. You spoke that the rain was going to come, but Elijah, that he had to go and be a part of being active in bringing this thing into the earth. And that's what you have designed man for, to bring your word into the earth, to bring it into manifestation into the earth. And so he went and put his head between his knees, and he began to pray. Then he sent out his servant, and tonight we're sending out the angels of the Lord, hallelujah, to go and look for us. We're going to look out our windows even, hallelujah. We're looking out our windows. We want to see the cloud the size of a man's hand, that hope, oh God, that's in the sky. That's the part of the promise that you have declared, the thing that you have spoken. It is so. It is so. And the world will know because the rain is coming. And after the rain falls, everything that needs to bloom and everything that needs to break is going to break in this hour. We give you praise and glory in the name of the Lord. It is so, in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. I'm excited to be here. I'm just in a place tonight. I really am. And this family thing has been really, for the majority of my life, it's a place for me. It really is. It's a very sensitive, it's a very tender place for me. I love family. I love family. And so I'm just excited. I'm just excited to know that I am chosen of God to be one of those people. And I believe many of you that are listening on the line are chosen of God to usher in this end time movement of God concerning family. He's raising up families in this season that are going to show forth his power in the earth. There is an inheritance. There is an inheritance. There is a legacy. There is an empire. Yeah, and the empire is striking back in this season, and the manifested sons are going forth with power and in demonstration. Listen, Faith for Family is bringing the family and the kingdom lifestyle through God's word in power and in demonstration. And what we promote here is healing and deliverance. So if you're tuned in tonight, we want you to know that we're about that life. What life are we about? We're about that healing and deliverance life. We're about that family life. We're about that power life. We're about that word of God life. That's what we're about, because we believe that man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I promise you, God has had plenty to say about family. He's had plenty to say about family, and it's something that he created. It's something that he instituted, and he's the blueprint for it. And so tonight, what I want you to do is just take a few minutes and contact somebody that you know and love and let them know that we're on the line tonight. Faith for Family is on the line tonight. We want to share this word with them. I'm only going to give you about a minute or two, because we got to get right back in here and get to this word, because we're only going to be here for an hour. So tell them don't be late tonight. They're already late, really, but don't be no later than what they are, because we're not going to be here very long. Love you so much. We'll be right back.
Come on, throw your hands up. For your mercy has renewed my faith. I've overcome the world. I receive your grace. For your mercy has renewed my faith.
Listen, I don't care what you're going through. You've received the grace of God. We are in the dispensation of grace, and God has given you the ability to come through anything. You can run through troops and leap over walls. I promise you, the power of God is rich in you to bring alive every dead thing, to quicken your mortal body, and to bring you from a place of darkness into a place of marvelous light. It's your time. It's your season. And it's your hour to shine. And we seek the grace of God to do everything that he's called us to do. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Listen, I've got a word from the Lord for you. I'm going to give you this word, and then we're going to jump right into the word again. We are on our family series tonight about that life, and a man or no is the topic. And so we're going to talk to the men again tonight. I pray that you can hear me. I don't like to cut the music really quickly and abruptly. I like to kind of have a smooth finish there. So prayerfully, you can hear me over the music. Listen, the word of the Lord tonight is that you take heed to the word. Take heed and be free, God is saying. For every word of accusation the enemy has made against you has been heard in my court. Will you throw yourself at the mercy of my court today. Agree with your advocate. You know who your advocate is, right? The one that shed his blood. Agree with what the blood has been shed to accomplish on your behalf. Then suddenly the tide will change and my verdict will not tarry nor delay. Listen, God is changing some things in the earth. He's changing things on your behalf. He's changing things. But what's going to happen, what I love about him is that he's already got a plan, and the plan has already been accomplished. But what has to happen on our end is that we have to agree with the decrees of heaven. We have to agree with what God is saying. And you know, the word of God says this, and we do understand that the sacrifice was already made, that the blood was already shed, and that is an awesome place for us to be. But I, you know what? I'm gonna read this to you too, because I just thought this was amazing. I've been talking to my leaders and in prayer time, and you know, just different people about the fact. And I think on Monday we were talking about this on Your Permission to Prophesy broadcast, our roundtable broadcast, how we have lost the art of storytelling, how we've lost the art of telling parables and, you know, saying things to bring people to a specific mindset. And I was, right before I got online, a parable came to my mind, and I want to share it with you. This is how the Holy Spirit gave it to me. The kingdom of God is likened to a man whose debts were paid, likened to men whose debts were paid by a very generous king. The king left his throne and his wealth and all his abundance and sought those whose debts he paid. The debts, when acknowledged, replenished his account. But when denied, they didn't do much of anything. And so what it brought me to the understanding was, you know, we're talking about the sacrifice that Jesus made. And it's already been done. He's already forgiven. You know, your sin has already been thrown into the sea of forgiveness. It really has. I don't care who you are. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. I'm going to say that again. The world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth. And see, that's the prerequisite there. Sin was already forgiven, but you have to be the whosoever that believes that it was given. You have to be the whosoever. And when you believe that, we can go all the way back into the scripture when we start talking about confession being made. And in the mouth, making the confession, and the heart believing. You know what I'm saying? For with the heart, man believeth unto salvation, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That whole dynamic, that confession there is not about you saying, forgive me, I sinned. It's acknowledging, it's agreeing that what was, the sacrifice was made for you. You're agreeing with the fact that it was necessary. You know what I'm saying? You're agreeing with the fact that, yeah, that was me. Yeah, I was that. I'm a liar. I was a cheater. I was an adulterer. Whatever it was, that is what it was. That's absolutely the reason for that confession. See, when somebody's done something so amazing for you and then come looking for you and you denied them, you know, I didn't owe that debt. I didn't owe that debt. The Bible says he that says he has no sin is a lie. And that's not the truth. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the issue here. It's not an issue of falling on your face and begging for repentance is a change of mind. It's not a confession with your mouth. It's a change of mind. And we've gotten that so mixed up. So I just wanted to share that with you. I didn't really have it completely completed. As you saw at the end, I just kind of let it fall off. But you got the point of the parable. And that's what I wanted to make sure you got was the point of the parable. Tonight, you know, one of the questions that I want to ask you is, what do you really want? I want to talk to the men tonight, because we've been talking about biblical manhood for the last couple of weeks, and we want to kind of bring you into that reality of what that is. And so we've talked about some things. We've talked about the fallacy and the foolishness of adolescence and where that whole concept came from. You know, only in 1904 was that thing even realized, and then as that era progressed, somewhere around the 1938s and the 1940s, that thing started emerging in a different way in media, you know, in the media, in the radio, in the television, and all of those different places. And so the question is, because we're so far away from what God designed, what do you want as a man? You know, and I think a lot of times that question is not asked, and because we're not challenged to come into those kinds of realizations, then we just kind of keep doing the same thing we've always done. You know, when I thought about that question tonight, it made me think about Naaman. Naaman was he was a oh God, I can't, my brain is moving too fast. He was a centurion. He was a guard. He was a captain. Hallelujah. I couldn't think. He was a captain. And he was in charge of armies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was in charge of armies. I need my prayer warriors to pray tonight. I'm feeling a little resistant this evening. He was in charge of armies. But he had leprosy. This is in 2 Kings chapter 5. You can go and read it in your own time. I'm not going to read it. I just want to tell you about it tonight. He was in charge of armies, and he had leprosy, but his leprosy was invisible to everybody. His leprosy was actually under his armor, so his household knew what was going on with him, you know, but those that were outside of the household, when he put on his armor, he just appeared to be this man of such strength and such power, but he had leprosy. He had a disease that if people knew about that disease, he would be a cast out. He would not be allowed in the city. He would not be able to cohabitate with the rest of the people. And so he covered his leprosy with his false honor, with his false authority, you know, but his authority was in no way to get him out of that position that he was in. So he needed somebody else. As much authority and power that he had, he still needed help. He needed to find help for his issue, for his situation. And I'm praying that tonight, if you're listening to the broadcast, that that's what you're here for, to find help for your issue, to find help for your situation, for whatever your leprosy is tonight, whatever your addiction is, whatever that is tonight, you're going to find help for that. And so he had an issue, and he had a little servant girl who brought to his attention about a man of God. And he decided to go on ahead and go check him out, went on and checked him out. And when he got there, the man of God didn't come down. He didn't come down. He wouldn't show up. He sent his servant down. Elisha sent his servant down, Gehazi. He sent his servant down to tell this man of power, this man of armies, what to do. And this man had an issue, you know, and that's a manly thing. It's funny that God would take me here tonight, because that's a manly thing. It's a pride thing, you know, when you are who you are and you feel like what you feel like about yourself, and, you know, you're pretty settled in your way of doing things, and somebody is going to challenge your authority in these matters and on these issues, and you feel some kind of way. You feel some kind of way. And so I want to talk to that part of you. I want to talk to that part of you tonight, that pride part of you that feels some kind of way when it's challenged. Because you know what? When you're not challenged, you don't grow. I'm just telling you this tonight. When you're not challenged, without challenge, there is no growth. And you have to be challenged in order to grow. I was telling one of my leaders the other day that, you know, people are making a big deal about all these issues with the Alzheimer's and the, you know, different issues with the brain and all this. But what has happened is that people have stopped reading. People don't read. They don't learn anything new. You know what I'm saying? They sit and watch television. And that's not getting ready to create any new synapses in your brain. But when you pick up a book and you begin to read, and I'm not talking about just picking up stuff that you think you understand, because how you form new brain cells, and we're talking about a challenge still, we're talking about this mighty man still, how you create the newness, how something new happens, is because you picked up something that you can't wrap your head around, and so your brain has to start working. This is the same principle in this story that I'm telling you. Your brain has to start working, and so it starts creating new synapses, and now your brain is expanding, and there's growth there. There's potential. There's life there, because you're continually feeding the brain what it needs to create and to regenerate. Are you hearing me? And so this is what's happening in this story here. He's been given this information, and he's feeling some kind of way about it. He doesn't want to do it. You're telling me I got to go down to this Jordan. I got to wash 7 times. I got to go down to the water, this dirty water, and wash 7 times. Is that what you're telling me I have to do? I'm not doing that, because you know what? I'm a man of authority, and I'm not going to be treated like this. First of all, you didn't even come down and talk to me, and then you sent your servant, and then you're telling me I got to go and wash in dirty water. Wash in the dirty water. Okay, I ain't doing that. His servant girl says, listen, you know, it might be a good idea for you to follow what the man of God says. So somehow or another, he's able to wrap his brain around what's been said to him. And he goes and he washes in this dirty water. When he washes in dirty water 7 times, his leprosy is healed. He's delivered from his leprosy. But it took him to figure out what he really wanted. You know, and sometimes I think that we really don't know what we want. And I'm talking to the men tonight. Sometimes I'm thinking that you really don't know what you want because you got this leprosy, you got this issue, but you think it in your mind, I wish I could, you know, be on the other side of some things. But the question is, are you willing to do what it takes to get on the other side of it? You know, are you willing to follow the instructions to get on the other side of it? That's the question tonight. And as I'm speaking to you tonight, I want you to keep that in your mind. I want you to think about that. Okay, I want you to think about that and put yourself in Naaman's shoes and understand that it was because he was able to hear the word that came from the prophet. Because he was able to hear that word from the prophet Elijah when he went and washed in that dirty water. And everybody knew that that water was dirty. So I'm sure he was concerned about how he was going to look. Can I tell you something? We're on the radio tonight. You're listening to this by replay. You're listening to this on your computer, on your phone, and nobody's watching you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This man was a commander of the army, and I'm sure he was having an issue about how it was going to look that he would wash in this dirty water. Are you hearing me? But tonight, you need to come on and go with me as we wash in this dirty water and come clean, because it's your time. It's your season. Listen. About that, the fact that we know about manhood and we know about boyhood. And that word hood as a suffix talks about the condition or the state of a thing. There is no adolescent hood. And we do understand that this is a new construct. It's something that was created for lots of different reasons, for political reasons. It was created for educational reasons. It was created for a mechanism of control. It was created a mechanism of the powers that be. You know, there is a system that is outside of the kingdom system, that is systems of this world. And the Bible declares that we be conformed to the world, but that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we understand tonight that what you want first starts in your mind. I've been talking over the last couple of days with folks about predetermined purpose. And it's important that we understand that even though our purpose was predetermined, we are part of actualizing that in the earth. Even as Naaman was a part of actualizing his healing, he had to take a part of that. You know, he had to follow the instructions. He had to know exactly what he wanted and go after what he wanted. Does that make sense? So it's important that we understand that that is a part of our growth. We have a part of that growth. You know, this phrase came to my mind because I know that there are a lot of men that really want to do better. And I've been talking to some of those guys. You know, some of those people are my friends. Some of those people are just random people that contact me and want to have conversations and want to talk because they want, they're looking for help. This is a season where men are looking for help. So I think it's really so amazing that God would have us do this thing on the men first, but the men are the foundation for family. And it's important because without the men, there is no family. Even though the children come from the woman still needs a man, right? And real family, you know, godly family starts with a godly man. It starts with a godly man. And so this phrase came to me, and I could hear this based on the conversations that I've had with the men. He said, if I knew me, I could do me. And I think a lot of times, men, you just don't know who you are. And if I told you that something had been stolen from you, like, you know, just in general, just I'm talking naturally, you would feel some kind of way about that. But because we've been taught or desensitized from spiritual things, you know, as if they don't matter, as if they're just some, you know, something out in the ether. You know, we go to church. That's the extent of it. We read our Bible from time to time or hear a verse or can quote a verse or two. But there's really no connection to spiritual things. So when I say that something's been stolen from you and it's your spirituality, it's who you are, then that doesn't really sound like it's a big deal to you, but it's a major deal. Because if you knew you, you could do you. You know, if you knew who you were, you could do better about being who you're supposed to be. And so it's important that you understand that some things were stolen from you, man. You know, your image, your ID is everything. You know, people talk about image is everything. Is, but it's what image is what matters. That's what matters at the end of the day. What image is what matters? And your ID has been stolen. You know, there's a thief. And I know sometimes religious folks, they always come out, you know, I don't know, they talk about things from an angle as if the devil didn't steal anything, and that's what he is. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Your likeness has been stolen. That's, you know, your image is the form that you were created in. You've changed your whole form, your whole likeness, your mindset is what your likeness deals with, and we've dealt with this over the last couple of weeks. That's the likeness, that's the mindset that was given to you by God. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. You understand what that means? That means that the image of who he is the image he created you in. And then the mindset that he has, he's given you that to operate in the earth that he placed you in to have dominion. And that's been stolen from you. The glory and honor that he provided you with. I love the word of the Lord in Psalms chapter 80. The question was asked, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That you've got him on your mind. Your mind is full of this thing that you've created. What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You made him a little lower than yourself. Yeah, I'm correcting the text there, because if you go and look up the word a little lower than angels, you were, I just told you, you were made in the likeness and image of God. That came out of his mouth. And so that's an error in the translation of the text, because you were not made a little lower than angels. You were made like God. So you were made godlike. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All right. So you've lost, and then the word of God goes on to say there, and has crowned him with glory and honor. One of the reasons why you're chasing so much and you're doing so much is because, one, you've lost your identification. You've lost your image. You've lost the likeness of who you were created to be. You've lost your glory and your honor. And so now you're seeking glory in outside sources. You're seeking something to validate you. You're seeking something to make you feel all right. Because like Adam was in the garden, when they compromised the word of the Lord over their life, when they did the thing that God said, don't do, because if you do this, you're going to die. Even though he was speaking of a literal death, it began already, because separation from God and not being in that same form was death to Adam. And I know, you know, when we look at that text in the beginning, we're always thinking along the lines of when God gave them skin, and it doesn't say animal skins, by the way, and there were animals, there were beasts of the field and all of that different kind of thing. It didn't say that. And if you go and study the text out, you'll find out that he put extras on them. That's why we have so many layers of skin, because the way man was created originally was in the form of God. And so now we've got layers and layers of skin, because we have to be protected because of the elements that we live in, the condition. Now, he had to kick Adam out of that garden, out of that place of protection. That was a divine place where there was no challenge to his flesh as far as him needing a bunch. You know, when we do things like, you know, when we work our jobs or when we do specific things, we need clothing on to protect us from what could happen if we don't have the clothing. If that makes sense to you, we've got to protect ourselves. Our skin protects us when we do work, when we go out in our yards and we dig and we do these different things. And those calluses come to protect our hands from bleeding or being opened or whatever. And so they needed this extra skin. But the reason why this skin was necessary was because they had lost their glory. They had lost what they were crowned with. They had lost that. And so now the reason that they went and looking for fig leaves was not because they were necessarily covering up their groin area, so to speak, but because they were trying to put something on them. They were trying to restore a glory. They were trying to make it look better again. You know, let me find something that's going to give me some form of glory, that's going to bring some kind of beauty to me, because now I don't see myself the same way I saw myself. Okay? So you've lost your glory and you've lost your honor. That's your inheritance, you know, and no different than Esau, who gave up his birthright so many times. Man of God, you've given up your birthright for something that's not going to even last you. It's not going to be worth that. You know, your birthright provides your position. It provides your inheritance, and you turn that over for something that's just going to touch your belly for a moment, and it's going to be gone. It's going to touch your appetite for a moment, but then you're going to be hungry all over again. Like the woman at the well, who kept coming to the well looking for something at that time of the day. And notice it didn't say that there were a bunch of women around. It said that it was her. Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria. I've got to show up here. He knew he had to meet her there at the well because she keeps seeking this thing that she's not finding, which is why she keeps coming to the well. And so now I need to impact her by asking her some questions and finding out what's really going on with her. She had an appetite that she was trying to fill. And most of what people go through, particularly man, that's who I'm talking to tonight, most of what you're going through is about your appetite, the appetites that you picked up along the way, the things that you become accustomed to, the things that you desire, not because they're so great, but because now you just have an appetite for them. I'm talking about, you know, not that beer is so great, not that alcohol is so great, because a lot of people before they started drinking alcohol thought it was the nastiest thing in the world, but because you wanted to fit in. You know, drugs weren't good when you took them the first time. Wasn't nothing great about snorting nothing up your nose or shooting nothing in your arm. It was just the fact that you wanted to fit in, or you were looking for an escape from the life that you were in. Can I tell you something? There is an escape, but it's not those things. Your escape is in the presence of God. Your escape is in the presence of God. I've been talking a lot about 1 Corinthians chapter 7 over the weeks and sharing it on different broadcasts because I think it's important that if we understand, first of all, I want to rewind for one moment because I want to take you back to the top. The whole duty of man is to fear God, to fear him, and to keep his commandments. And because we've gone so far away from that, we're in such a mess from the one thing that we're commanded to do, that we were born to do, fear him, which is worship. Which is what Adam was created to do in that garden, keep that culture of worship. Create a culture and keep the culture of worship. Don't let anything interrupt it. Are you hearing me? Don't let anything interrupt it, but you can have a direction and be going in a way, and then all of a sudden, because you start getting an appetite for other things, your whole culture, your whole area, your whole environment changes, and now you're starting to succumb to the environment. The environment is drawing you in, and this is a trick of the enemy. This is a trick of the enemy. Are you hearing me? Because bad evil corrupts good manner. Are you hearing me? Bad company, evil company corrupts good manner. You know, the information you choose to believe will cause you to see through those lenses particularly. You understand what I'm saying? But I want to tell you this right now, that bad information can put you in a bad situation. And I think a lot of us have been going off of bad information. Now I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and just talk about it for a minute because that's what I was getting ready to go in the direction of. Paul is having discussions about callings of God. And a lot of people don't see family as a calling. A lot of people don't see singleness as a calling. A lot of people don't see married life as a calling. But they are all callings, just as much as an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, just as much as all of that is a calling. Whatever you've been called to in this season of your life, God has called you to that, and you need to abide in God in that. So if you are a single man today, I want to encourage you to do several things. One, walk away from that concept of dating, because that's where your issues are coming from if you're dealing with sexual issues. That's where your issue is coming from. Tell you something, not strong enough at this point. To do this on your own. You're not strong enough. None of us are strong enough on our own to do anything. Without God, we can do nothing. But I'm telling you right now, you're not strong enough. Okay? You've already handled it. You've already tasted. You've already touched. And so now you need to get away from that. You can't bring fire into your bosom and not be burned. It's going to burn you. Okay? So if you desire a relationship with God as a single man, you need to make God your priority again. Reprioritize your life. Come back to God. Go back to your first love. You understand what I'm saying? That's what he's waiting on. He's waiting on you to surrender to him. And if you yield to him, I promise you, I keep telling folks I've been married twice, and I say it all the time for a reason. I'm telling you this because I'm saying this because I don't want you to think that I'm just some random person that has a lot to say and ain't been nowhere and ain't experienced nothing. I've been in major relationships my entire life, including two marriages. So if anybody can tell you that you can live single and live holy, it should be me because I'm doing it. Are you hearing me? I'm doing it and I'm loving it. It's not a difficult task to do. You just got to want God more than you want everything else. And if you yield to him, then he will incline to you, and you'll find that it's not you doing the work. It's him that's working in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's what he does. I want to say this. God's desiring to call boys to men. That's his desire. There is no adolescence. You need to go from boyhood to manhood. And I don't care what age group you're in right now. If you are over the age of 12, it's time to be a man. It's time to get your business in order. It's time to be a man. You know, this is a place that many people, when they go to, they just talk about the woman. But I want you to think about Proverbs 31 for a moment. Proverbs 31 talks about a woman, but it also talks about her husband. And her husband sits in the gate. And can I tell you something about this gate? These people that are sitting in this gate, they're not just random people. They're not like the guys that sit on the corner, that stand around party stores in your average city, you know, that are just sitting on the corner barbecuing and drinking malt liquors. No, no, that's not why they're sitting in the gates. They're sitting in the gates because they're people of power and influence. Are you hearing me? They are influential men. And that's why they're sitting in the gates, because they make decisions for the city. Are you hearing me? And God wants to call you to the gates. He wants you to be a Proverbs 31 man. That's what he wants you to be. He wants you to be a man of influence, not negative influence, but of godly influence. And I know if you are a man of God, you may have not seen a pastor live before you, may not have even seen your father live before you, but there are examples in the scripture that can show you some things. There's some things that I missed growing up. I had a great childhood, but there are some things that as a woman, the woman that I am today is in no way connected to some of the people that I was connected to, because they were on another path. They were doing things a little differently than what I do. Are you hearing me? But you've got to have a longing and a desire for God. And if you have a longing and a desire for him and allow him to be your father, then you'll find the example of fatherhood. You'll find the example. If you allow him to be all that he said he was, then you'll find the example of who he is to his church and who a man should be to his wife. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You'll find all of those examples in scripture. It's not a difficult thing. It's a desire thing. It's a desire thing. I love the scripture when Jesus goes and finds his disciples in Luke. He says, listen, follow me and I will make you. I just told you, you don't have to do this on your own. You know, where you're headed, you're going to need to be discipled. So you're going to need to connect with people. You know, you're going to need to connect with people that are of like mind, men that are of strength, women that can lead you in the right direction, because there are lots of voices out there talking about the dating game and talking about, you know, all of these different things that pertain to life. But they're talking about it from a worldly perspective. They're saying that it's okay to date, you know, and they're talking about dating with, you know, without the benefits and dating with fringe benefits and, you know, all of these different things that people talk about. But I want you to know something. God has branded you. Can I tell you something about a brand? When you're called of God, you're like that product that's on the shelf, and everybody knows you're that product because the brand has a look. It has a logo. You know what I'm saying? It looks like something very specific, and you've been branded. My question tonight is, what brand do you want to be? How do you want your brand to come across in this season? How do you want the brand to come across? How do you want to represent the brand that you're supposed to be in the earth? How do you want that to look? You know, because God has definitely called you to represent his brand. And, you know, I used to do marketing and consultation and be a manager for a lot of different Fortune 500 companies. I would travel the country representing these different brands. And I would hire brand ambassadors. Sometimes I was a brand ambassador. But when I was the manager, I represented the brand. And even when I went in certain places, they even called me the name of the product because of how I represented the brand. And so those companies called me back on a regular basis, even though they went through another company. They wanted me specifically because of how I represented their brand. So there was payment on another level for that. It took me to the next level. And so you've been living at a lower level. And so that's why you've been frustrated, because you've not even been living on the right level as a brand ambassador. You've not been representing the brand right. So your pay has been a little, you know, a little sparse. But if you would just go ahead and apply yourself and represent the brand right, then you'd understand that there is absolute pay in representing the brand right. There is a pay. But your information definitely affects your situation. I want you to know that. So you need to check your information today. Check your information. Where are you getting the information from that tells you that it's okay to be in relationships with three and four women at a time? Where do you get the information from that tells you that you should father children and not take care of them? That you should father children and not be committed in a covenant relationship with a woman with the intention to raise these children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? What gives you that idea? Where did that report come from? You know, the spies went over into the promised land because they were told to go over there so that they could see and bring back a report, and only two brought back the right report. The rest of them brought back a bad report. You know what I'm saying? And I think I'm inclined to believe that a lot of times people are listening to the wrong report, and this is why we're getting the results that we're getting. Are you hearing me? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And your faith is coming by what you're hearing, what you're continually hearing. Are you listening to me? So it's important tonight that you understand that you've got to change your environment, change your surroundings. Make some decisions tonight. Start asking yourself, what do I want? Sit down and write that down. What do you want? You need to know what you want in this season. Know what you want so that when you understand what you want, then the thief can't just come in and steal from you. Can I tell you something about that word steal? That word steal there is it's filch. And what a filch is, it's just a person that's a pilferer. They steal, and they especially steal things in small quantity or things of small value. But in this case, it will be in small quantity. They do it in a casual way. So they don't just come in and rob you. It didn't say that the devil was a robber. It says he's a thief. But can I tell you something about a thief? They have to have access to the thing that they're stealing. They have to have access to the person that they're stealing from. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And ease of access is even better. So this is why the Bible tells us to give him no place. Give no place to the devil. Resist him, and he will flee. Because the moment you give him place, that's when you start losing. Because he's going to just casually begin to take your glory. He's going to casually be able to walk off with your honor. He's going to casually be able to walk off with the image that you were created in. Casually walking off with the likeness that you were created in. And so then you're left with nothing, and now you're looking for everything to attach to you to make you something that you were already born to be. You were born amazing, man of God. You were born amazing. And now you got to allow your eyes to be opened, the eyes of your understanding. I'm praying that your eyes be enlightened tonight. Do you know that if your eye could just be single, this is in Matthew chapter 6, if your eye could just be single, then your whole body would be full of light. That means if you could just have a focus, you could just focus on God in this season, your body would be full of light. But when your eye is not single and it's just doing everything, you know, you can never capture a picture properly with your camera moving around. You know, you have to take that camera and you have to aim it at the thing that you're aiming it at and get it focused and then capture that shot. Then that allows the light to come into the iris of the camera. And then the image is formed that you get as a photo. Does that make sense? But without that, it's just blurry. It's just dark. It's not any good. And so your vision's been off because your information's been bad. And so you've been looking through the lens of this bad information. But today God wants to deliver you from this bad information. He wants to deliver you from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, I talk about this pride of life. By the time you get to pride, that's a stronghold. So we're talking about pride a little bit at the top of the broadcast. Because pride is that thing that puts you in this place where you feel like, I'm already doing what I want to do. I'm good where I'm at. You know, that don't work anyway, but you've really never worked it. You've really never worked it. So you can't know that the word works until you've worked the word. You've been working your own word. You've been working your own way of doing things. Are you hearing me? Well, we've got to get to this place where we don't allow the pride to set up. But that if we avoid the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, which means we're not giving any place to our adversary, then that means that pride can't set up because we can't get to this stronghold place, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We can't get to that stronghold place because we are watching what's going on in our minds. We're pulling down the strongholds, anything that comes towards us that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And see, again, we've got to get back to the place where we understand the whole duty of man. We have not accomplished the whole duty yet, and we're trying to accomplish duties that ain't got nothing to do with us, like looking for wives. I know I've said it on several broadcasts before now, and I know this blows women's minds because did you know that a man ain't even supposed to be looking for you? I know it says he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. But that word find has nothing to do with him going on a hunt on a search, but we make all of those things a priority for me. We make that a priority. When Jesus called his disciples, he didn't say, come on, follow me. I'm gonna teach you how to hunt. See, these concepts about hunter and all of that stuff, that came from a whole nother place. I'm realizing, you know, even as I just said it, it's a concept that was put forth and that makes men think that it's okay to be on the hunt. Where is that written in the scripture? I don't know where that's written. That's hunter-gatherers. That stuff that's written in history, in men's history, because men that ate meat, they were hunting their food and killing it and cooking it. Are you hunting a woman to cook her and kill her? I mean, no. That is not the same concept. It doesn't even have the same thing to do with the same thing. You know, those two things don't even go together. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Those two things don't go together. So if you stop looking for something, you'll stop finding the something. You stop looking, then you'll find the wife that God has for you. And how did Adam find his wife? God woke him up. That means he was asleep when he pulled her out of him, and then he woke him up, and then when he opened his eyes, he saw her. He said, now that is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now, that's what I'm proposing to you tonight, that if you allow yourself to be asleep in some areas in this season and just go about doing what God has called you to do, whatever those things are that he's given your hands to do. Because as a single man or woman, you're caring for the things of the Lord, how you might please him. But look at how the world has messed us all up. Instead of us caring or being taught to care for the things of the Lord, how we might please him, we're trying to figure out how to find a date. Now it's not even a concern of ours that what we're doing, whether it's pleasing to the Lord or not, because now we're trying to make a connection. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No sugar and spice and everything nice. I know they told those fairy tales and they called you guys snakes and snails and puppy dog tails and all of that. But there was a mindset that was put forth many generations ago. And as we were talking about that whole lie of adolescence, how that took so many hundreds of years to even come to the place that it's at now. Same thing with that little nursery rhyme about sugar and spice and everything nice. Not so. A lot of men don't know the power of a woman. They don't know the power of what God created. Ask Samson. He gave up all his strength. He had no idea how powerful, because see, he was a strong one. So he could lay his hand in her lap with confidence that she's not going to hurt me because I'm stronger than her. But guess what? Even though you were stronger than her outwardly, there was something in her that got to the strength that where your real strength lied and was able to take your strength away from you. And the Bible declares this. That a man should not allow his strength to be taken. He said, give not your strength to a woman, nor your way to the things that destroy kings. That's in Proverbs chapter 31. Don't give your strength to a woman, neither to the things that destroy kings. It's a whole lot of stuff that destroys kings, but a woman is one of them, if it's a wicked woman particularly. So tonight, God is closing doors in your life. You're leaving the hood. You're leaving your childhood. I thought that was funny when the Holy Ghost said, tell them they're leaving the hood. You know, when people, when they get big, when they get rich, all of a sudden now they want to leave the hood, right? So they leave the hood. And the reason why they leave the hood is because they can't take the hood with them where they're going because they're going to a higher place. Yeah, so I want you to leave your childhood tonight because you're going to a higher place. When you leave that place, you've got to close the door on your past because now you can't carry on as a child anymore. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. You know what I'm saying? I behaved as a child. But now that I'm a man, I got to put away the childish things. Are you listening to what I'm saying? What do you really want tonight? Can I tell you something? There's nothing wrong with wanting a wife. It's nothing wrong with wanting companionship. But see, companionship has just been turned into just desire and lust and flesh. But I'm talking about you wanting, having a real desire for the thing that the way that God designed it. So there's nothing wrong with you wanting to be connected, to have companionship, to want relationship. But it's all in how you go about getting it. Nothing wrong with people wanting good things. But if you steal it, you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to have to pay. And that pay could be jail time. You know what I'm saying? It could be jail time. So is it worth that to you? Because you do know that when you're touching something that God hasn't authorized, you are stealing. When you're in a relationship that God hasn't authorized, that's a form of stealing. Because that is somebody's wife. That is somebody's daughter. Connecting yourself with without authorization. So my mantra in this season is to men, talk to my father. Now, I got people for you to talk to. I'm not going to open myself up to that in this season of my life. I've got too much to do for the kingdom. And so I'm praying that that's the mantra of every woman listening to me, every single woman. You're going to need that. Any man that's trying to approach you, he's going to need to talk to those in authority. Somebody, another man, he's going to need to have a conversation with another man, not with you. And if he doesn't have that mindset or that concept, he's most likely not somebody you want to be bothered with anyway. What do you want tonight? That's the question. I told you we were only going to be on an hour. I wasn't kidding you. I was not kidding you. Listen, Rehoboam was king. He was Solomon's son. And he was given the kingdom. And he had the older men talking to him to try to show him how to establish himself. And he said, listen, your father was hard on us in some areas, and you need to lighten up the load. If you lighten up the load, the people will love you, and they'll give you their allegiance. He said, okay, that's, I hear you. Go on off from me for 3 days. Come back in 3 days. And when those men went off, Rehoboam starts talking to his homies, the people that are on his level. Can I tell you something? You've been in this circle long enough, and everybody that's on your level is why you're stuck where you are. You're going to have to change your circle in this season to change your cycle. When he began to talk to his homies, guess what? He took on their word. They said, no, man, do it your way, player, do it your way. You know, make it even heavier on the people than it is now. And guess what? He lost the kingdom. This is why so much loss has happened. But we need the men tonight. We need you to come to yourself like that son did when he had taken all of his substance and took it into a far country and wasted it. He came to himself when he got in that pig pen. And can I tell you something? I know a lot of you guys, you're in a pig pen situation. Can I tell you something? You can't afford child support. Do you know that? You can't afford that. You cannot afford that. No, you cannot. You can't afford to be losing time that you're losing. You can't afford bad relationships. You can't afford this drama that goes on. You can't afford it. It's too costly. You can't afford the soul ties in the season. So tonight I'm decreeing and declaring over your life that God will bring you to a place of freedom. As you yield yourself, as I spoke in the prophetic word tonight, as you yield yourself and acknowledge that the sacrifice that was made, it was made for the issue that you're having right now. Yes, I have this issue. And I recognize that a sacrifice was made for me. God saying, speedily, without delay, listen, the tide is going to change in your life. I'm telling you, if you pray right, you'll get the right response. If you say the right thing, if you go into the court of law the right way, then you're going to get a response. You can't go into the court of law like you're on a battlefield, because that's the wrong behavior for that environment. And you can't go in the battlefield like you're in the court of law. See, everything has its specific place, and every environment requires specific behaviors and specific posture. And today, I'm decreeing and declaring over your life that you're going to yield today to the will of God. You're going to yield today to the plan of God. You're going to say yes today to what God has spoken to you, what he's spoken over your life. It's already in a book. He's already written it down. He's already written down your success. Are you hearing me? And today you're going to agree with your success for the rest of your life. Listen, I love you tonight. We're only going to be on an hour. We've got like an hour. I'm sorry, like 90 seconds left. I just wanted to chit-chat with you tonight, but we're going to come back next week and we're going to close out. It won't be a man or no, because we've gotten past that. We're going to talk about some very specific things like fatherhood and husbandry. So next week we're going to talk about that. Be here. I love you so much. Till the next time I see you, you are blessed, and don't forget it. We'll see you on Monday at the Prophetic Roundtable. God bless you.
Yeah.